In your Bibles to Micah chapter 6. We're going to do, titled it, What Doth the Lord Require Thee, Part 2. God is such a good God.
Amen.
When we look at what He's done for us, and all that He requires for us is so little. Just believe, trust in His promises, and receive what He has for us, and He just forgives everything we've ever done. Says you're free. You can go on in life not worrying about what the past was. And I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about the past.
Amen.
I have to worry about the future, but I don't have to worry about the past when it's under the blood.
Amen.
Verse number 8. He that showeth thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And think of what Micah was writing here. This verse is really the key verse of the whole chapter of Micah, or the whole book of Micah. And they were under what they call the Mosaic laws. And those laws required that those people had to offer sacrifices. That sacrifice was for one reason, and one reason only, for the forgiveness of sins. And so when you look at what God has for us today, their salvation came through their obedience to the conditions of God's covenant. And that was that you bring a sacrifice to the temple, the priest will sacrifice that sacrifice, and your sins will be remitted for a year. Well, I'm so glad that we have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords that came to do that for me 2,000 years ago. He said, I'm not going to require you to come and offer sacrifices anymore. You're just going to come and offer yourself as a sacrifice. And when you do, all that God requires of thee is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Right.
That's all He asks. We just have to serve God with our whole heart, with the Word of God, and with the deeds that we do in life. So God, what does the Lord require of thee? And we looked a little bit into it, talked about we've got to live for God and let the world see Jesus through us. That was in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. We talked about Matthew chapter 5, that we're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If anybody is going to see Jesus today, it's through you.
Amen.
It's through your light that you let shine forth through you that they're going to see. Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 6 that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. I no longer have the opportunity to say, I'm going to do what I want. Because
right.
I don't belong to myself anymore.
Right.
I belong to God. And I want to do what God wants.
Amen.
Because that's what's going to glorify God. Then we ask the question about what are some of the attributes that's important to be in the Christian's life. And a thought's been going through my mind the last little while. We major on the minors instead of minoring on the majors. We sometimes look at the minor things thinking that they are the most important. But the most important thing is what God requires. And God requires one thing mainly, that you get saved.
Yes.
Salvation is what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 23, when he said, or in John chapter 3 through 5, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's the major. We can focus on, well, you're going to hell if you don't pay your tithes. You're going to go to hell if you don't live holy. You're going to go to hell if you don't come to church. We need to major on the major things. And that's God, salvation.
Amen.
Because that's the most important thing in your life. Now, it doesn't negate the responsibility of us of paying our tithes, living holy, doing all the things that God requires of us.
Right.
But the most important thing in your life is getting saved.
Amen.
And being saved. Because you're not going to see the kingdom of God if you're not saved.
Right.
If you have not been repented of your sins, been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, as God gives the utterance, you're not going to heaven.
Right.
Jesus said it, I didn't say it.
Right, right, right.
So don't come back and say, oh, Brother Wilson's telling us we're going to hell. No. The Word of God says that that's what's required.
Amen.
And so we wanted to look at some attributes that are important in your Christian life past salvation. Once you got saved, what are some of the things that God requires out of you?
Mm-hmm.
Now say, it was not about some of the things that we understand that's very important. The obedience to the plan of salvation, obedience to God's holiness standards, obedience to paying our tithes and our offerings to the church, obedience in coming to church. Not talking about those things. There's some things that we find in the book of Acts and in the early church that was very important in their life. Because we've got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And what happens and where we spend eternity is not determined by just what I think.
Right.
It's by what I do. How I respond to God and God's word. And so the first thing we started talking about, the importance of prayer and a prayer life. We look at, and we're going to look at four or five different miracles that happened that Jesus performed and see some keys that'll help us understand what prayer is and how important prayer is. We found in Chronicles chapter 16, one of the most important things that we need to do in verse 11, seek the Lord, seek his face continually. We have to get a hold of a God if we're going to receive what we want from God. Prayer is essential. Matthew chapter 7, we talked about it. Talks about ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says that, he said, I know your thoughts, and those are to give you an expected end when you call on me and find me. The responsibility is if we're going to have that expected end, we have to learn and go through what God expects out of us is that we call upon him. We trust in him. He said, and you'll find me. And he said, when you pray, I will hearken unto you. When you seek, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then 2 Chronicles 7, 14, 15, one of the most widely used scriptures we use today, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray
Amen.
And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Think that all it takes is a heart of a person that says, God, I need more.
Yeah, come on.
I need more.
Right.
We look at what's happening in the world today. You're going to need a prayer life if you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. My Bible says that when this end time stuff begins to happen, and we're entering into it right now, that if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. If you do not have a prayer life with God, it's going to be hard. Because when you have a prayer life with God and understand the principles of God, how that if the scripture in John 15:7 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, in Christ, if Christ is in you, my words abide in you, the word of God is so important in your life, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's God's promise to you. 1 John 3:22, we read, and that whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. So we receive because of what we do. Number one, we keep his commandments and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. What can be more pleasing to God than coming to the church at church time? To coming into his presence where he said, wherever two or three are gathered together, I'm there. That's pleasing to God. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in the things of the world and the cares of life that we don't sit down and open up the book. Most important book you could ever open up.
Right.
The Word of God. What can be more pleasing to God that's looking down upon you every day of your life than to see you sit down and open the book and begin to read the pages of the Word of God? I think it's pleasing to God. I think it's pleasing to God when we, you know, sometimes it's not so much that we get out there and we scream and we holler and call out to God. Sometimes all it takes is just that quiet place. Go and sit down in your easy chair, put it back, close your eyes, and begin to talk to God. Just talk to God yourself. You don't have to be out loud. It don't have to be boisterous. God just wants to see you do things that are pleasing in his sight. Because he rewards us because of that. That's why when Matthew 21:22 says, and Jesus said this, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. This is when I do things that are pleasing to God and pleasing to him in his sight. That's the kind of things that he wants to do for us. You take... anybody that's had kids will understand. When the little kids are little, they're always coming, Mommy, I need this. Daddy, I need this. I want this, Daddy. I want this. What do we do as a father?
Right, come on.
That little child. Mm-hmm. We do what we can for him.
Right.
If it's possible, we'll do it for him.
Right.
We don't do it when we know that it's not right for the child, but when we know that it's something that they really want, we'll do our best to give our kids what we think they need. But that's what it's, ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14. And John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. These are words that God spoke to the church and said, this is what I will do for you. We're going to go into a time, and I do not believe it's very far off, when we're going to have that prayer life. Because my Bible says when that time comes, we're not going to be able to buy and sell. You're not going to be able to run to a doctor. You're not going to be able to run to the pharmacy over here and get some pills. You're not going to be able to run to somebody and say, hey, doc, I need this. We've got one that's capable to do anything you have need of. And he will, if you learn to have a prayer life that God desires out of us. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says this. And this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? In Jesus. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. If we ask according to his will. How many times, you know, I'll be honest, there's times when, hey, God, I need this. We didn't need it at all. We just wanted it. And then we find that God doesn't give us what we want. God gives us what we need. But if we have this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. I will let you know, God does not hold back things that are good for you if you go to him in prayer, asking in faith, believing. That's why it's so important. Well, you just don't understand the circumstances in my life. I'll be honest. I've had diabetes for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Can God heal diabetes? Absolutely.
Yes, he can.
Absolutely, God can heal diabetes. I've been sick for 15 years. I've been sick for 10 years. God doesn't hear me, God. This is the confidence we have in him, in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. Sometimes God doesn't heal us because he knows what's best for us. I've heard stories and I know people that have come to God that were absolutely, they were not going to make it without God's intervention. Mm-hmm. So if it was through cancer, through sickness, through an accident, and their life was basically on the line, and they prayed, they asked God, and God came in and healed. And a few months later, well, where's so-and-so? They got what they wanted. They got their life back. And then they said, well, you know, I got what I need. I'll come back to God when I need God again. That's not the way we come to God. God has to be number one.
Amen.
And when we put God number one, we can ask anything. And he'll hear us and he'll give it to us because he's number one.
Amen.
It's not our goal. I remember a story of a guy that was laying in bed and they in the hospital, and they told him that he was going to die. They brought in a priest to give the last rites to him. And the pastor went into that church, into that hospital. And all he said, the guy was out of it. He said he would never wake up, that he was going to die. And he walked into that hospital room and said, God, you're able.
Yeah,
yeah. Heal him. Didn't, no long prayer. God doesn't need a long prayer. God knows what you needed before you ask him. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we plead with God and we cry out to God, and God just says, well, just ask me what you want and I'll give it. And we somehow get this thing, we got to give all these lengthy words and this spiel about how great God is. And God already knows he's great. We ought to know that God's great. So when I have a need, God, right now, do something. How many times, anybody driven in the wintertime, you'll understand. When you hit black ice, you've got no control. I'd left Vancouver's before I got married. I was going up to Dawson Creek, and our neighbor that lived just 3/4 mile away from us had asked if I'd give him a ride up there. And I got off work and we headed north in the middle of the night. I left at 5 o'clock in Vancouver, and the north of Prince George. We were going along, the roads were great. Come up to this corner, and all there was black ice. And I started to turn and it wasn't turning. And all I said is, hang on, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The car was going round and round and round and round. It's kept on the road, and all of a sudden it just kind of stopped and backed up into the ditch a little bit.
Right.
And stopped.
Amen.
The guy in the back, he wasn't Christian. He had nothing to do with God. And he says, how did that happen? I said, well, I said, there's one guy I called upon that can do something. And this vehicle, it was a Jeep, come around the corner the other way and seen my headlight sticking up out of the road. He stopped and he says, hold, you're kind of in there a little bit. And I said, yeah, but you hook on with the chain. I think you can get me out of here. And he hooked up with the chain, pulled me out, and on I went.
Amen.
But you know what? It could have been a lot different. But when you call upon that name,
amen.
That's why it's so important that we have that relationship with him.
Yes, Jesus.
Can you imagine as a child never talking to your natural dad unless you needed something? Hey, Dad, I need a bike. Oh, I haven't heard from you in 6 months? Well, I was, everything was going along great. I didn't need you, Dad.
Right, come on.
How does it feel? But you know, when you're always there, hey, Dad, just want to tell you I love you. Just want to tell you thank you for what you're doing for me. Thank you for supplying my food for me. Thank you for housing me. Thank you for clothing me. And then when we come to him, Dad, I really need a new pair of jeans. My other ones are kind of wore out and they got holes in them. And what's Dad going to do? If it's impossible, he's going to go get you a new pair of jeans. Because you've been there, you've asked him, you've talked to him. And that's the same with our Heavenly Father. The more you talk to your Heavenly Father, the more he's tuned into your calls. And he will call here when you call. But there's one thing Anybody understand what one principle there is that you have to have with prayer?
Faith.
The essential ingredient to prayer is faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 6 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance. What is substance? Something you can hold on to. Something that you can see. No? Substance. That's the phone is a substance. I can see it. How it works, I don't know. I do not know how that my son in Saskatchewan texted me at about 10 o'clock and said, Dad, what did we put the hamburgers in when we used to cook hamburgers ahead of time? We put them into some kind of a sauce. What was that? First he said, was it orange juice? And I thought, I don't think so. He said, what was it we used in the concessions? And I said, onion soup mix. That dry onion soup mix. You pour it in some water. You can put your hamburgers in there and it keeps them moist. You take them out of there, put them back on the grill, put your cheese on them, put your hamburger bun together and send it out and it's good. And then after he said, thanks, Dad, he put his phone down, I guess, and pocket dialed me. And in the background, I hear him talking to this guy. He says, yeah, he says, this is what my dad used to do. Dustin, can you hear me, Dustin? No, I couldn't hear him. But I don't know how that piece of equipment that we call a phone, you can talk to somebody in Saskatchewan and you can hear him through this. If you can tell me how it works, that's great. But that's exactly how it works with God. I don't know how God hears. He is way off there somewhere else. He's listening to millions of people at one time. And yet I can call out to God in the midst of a trial and say, God, I need help right now.
Amen.
God's tuned in.
Right.
He says, yes, I'll be there, my child. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. It's so important, that relationship. But faith is the key. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the type of prayer life you need with God. A prayer life is not just saying, okay, my time of prayer is 7 o'clock in the morning. My time of prayer is I'm going to pray at 8 o'clock at night. That's not the type of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking a prayer life that's there all the time. Whenever you need God, you can call on God. And you don't have to make it boisterous. You don't have to stand up in the middle of the restaurant and say, hey, God, right now I need you, God. You're making a fool of yourself, maybe. Maybe sometimes God wants us to do that. But in most of the time, all God wants you to do is say, God, I need you. And have faith to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when we pray for miracles, we pray for healings, we pray for blessings. But a lot of times we feel that, or it seems like it, that God's just not there. So we have to ask the question, why? Why doesn't God give us everything we ask for? Well, because sometimes it's not for our good. We're praying for something we want instead of something we're asking God and we need from God. So Jesus gives us a key to what when we can receive something in Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20. And this is the story of a demon-possessed boy. And the father has come to the disciples and asked them to pray for him. And nothing happened. It says in verse 16, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." This is the father of the son. Comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I brought my boy to your disciples and nothing happened." He looked and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." It says, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?'" Why can't we get what we want all the time? There's two reasons. First reason is they didn't have God inside them yet. They had God with him. And they watched as Jesus walked down the roads, healed the blind people, cured the lame, caused the deaf to hear, did all kinds of miracle signs and wonders. They seen that. And so the disciples thought when they brought him, that boy to them, well, we can do this. But didn't work. But verse 20 is the key. "And Jesus said unto them," just like Jesus is saying unto us today, "because of your unbelief." If you cannot believe that it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. Plain and simple. I have little brother Jack, and he got diagnosed with diabetes, just like me. And he'd gone to the doctor and said, you know, he wasn't feeling that great, and he went to the doctor. And the doctor tested him. He said, "Oh, you have diabetes. I want you to go and get these pills and these things, and, you know, it'll help with your diabetes." But he walked out of the doctor's office and said, "No, sir, I'm going to believe God." And he didn't go get the metformin the doctor told him to go get, which is to help with your diabetes. He just went to the church and prayed and said, "God, I don't need diabetes." Until this day, he doesn't have diabetes.
Amen.
But he had faith.
Amen.
Jesus said unto them, "because of your unbelief." Oh, then the reason I can't get healed is unbelief. The reason you can't get healed is unbelief. True. But also, sometimes God understands that if we have an infirmity, just like Paul had, and Paul kept going to God, "God, take this infirmity away." He said, "No, my grace is sufficient. You just keep putting your trust in me. Because if I heal you totally, you might take off and do what some others have done." And then, just last year, a year ago, little brother again, he jumped out of the back of his little pickup and at the house and broke his leg, broke his ankle. Told how he crawled into the house. He was there at home by himself. He crawled into the house, and the pain was so bad, he couldn't stand it. So when June come home, he said to her, you know what, maybe we better go to the doctor, to the hospital, and get an x-ray done. So they went to the hospital, and they wheeled him in and took x-rays and sent him back home because there was nobody going to be able to, the doctors weren't there going to be able to help him for the time being. We'll get a hold of you in the morning. The only thing was, in the morning, he was headed to the campgrounds to work. And so that night, he just began to pray, God, they've got cats and backhoes and different things there to do all this work, and I've committed to going. God, you have to do something. He said he sat in his chair that night, all night long, and he kept asking God, God, you got to do something. God, you got to do something. He woke up, got up in the morning, and walked, and it wasn't hurting at all. Maybe I just sprained my leg. Maybe that's all that was wrong. June comes out and said, what are you doing? Well, it doesn't hurt. I'm going to the campgrounds. So he went out and loaded up his truck and off he went. He gets up there and he's working on in the CAD or whatever it was, and the phone rings and Danny comes running over to him, flagging him down, and he gets out of the vehicle and he says, what's wrong? June's on the line, needs to talk to you, it's urgent. What's wrong? Well, the hospital wants you back into the hospital right now. You got a broken leg. It's not hurting right now, so it's going to have to wait till I come back. This was on a Monday. He didn't go back till Saturday.
Right.
Went back to the hospital, and they said, yeah, we're going to take another x-ray of your leg, and they did, and come back out, and they said, well, that's strange. They looked at this x-ray and said, see right there? Clean break. Read here, you've got a break that's healed over. It's been healed for a long time.
Amen.
Jack says, well, that's funny. He says, because I only broke it last Sunday night. He says, and this is Saturday. He said, oh, no, that's an old break. He says, well, it was an old one, yeah, a week later.
Hallelujah.
But that's the kind of God we serve.
Hallelujah.
Some people can believe, and it's an absolute must if we're going to receive from God. Because Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed. I always wondered what a grain of mustard seed was, and I was preaching in Vancouver just after getting out of Bible school, and I give my title that I was going to preach on faith. And so that Sunday morning, I'm getting ready to preach, and this elderly lady that's been going to the church, she was in her 80s or 90s, and she brought up a little bag, and she gave it to me, and he said, there, goes with your message. And I didn't even look in it. I just put it on the pulpit. I'm getting ready, and I read my scripture, and this is the scripture I lead. If you have faith of as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And she said, open your package. I opened up the package, and there was a little package of seeds, little tiny seeds. They were mustard seeds. Said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it will be removed.
Right.
Nothing will be impossible to you. We just need to have faith in God. Trust God that says, God, I need something now.
Right.
Because we're going to go into a time when we're going to need a relationship with God that says, God, I need help.
Yes.
I can't run to the doctors. I can't run to somebody else. I got to trust in Him. Mm-hmm. And I have to have that relationship to do it. I can't run to Him once every 6 months because I need something. It has to be a continual relationship. The other thing, when you don't receive, James talks about it in James chapter 4. And this is what James says to the church. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it unto your lusts. He's talking to the church. He said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. So I looked up in the dictionary what amiss means. I had no idea what it meant. But it's out of the right order or condition. Improperly, incorrect, inappropriate. When I ask for something that does not match up to the Word of God, I'm asking amiss. God never promised we're going to get our wants. So anytime you start to ask God, God, I need this. When I really don't need it, you're asking amiss. And you're not going to receive. But when you have need of something, and you go to God, say, God, I need a touch today. How many times? No, it's been 53 years since I got the Holy Ghost in the spring, 53 years ago. I know of many times when I've walked into church and I just wanted a blessing. I just wanted a touch from God. And you just sit back and you just say, God, I just need a brand new touch today. I just need a fresh anointing today. Maybe during worship service. Maybe during the preaching. Maybe it waits until the altar call. But sometime when all of a sudden you just reach out to God, as a faith of the grain of a mustard seed. Oh God, thank you for the blessing. Thank you for touching me today.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the floods gate open. And the rivers of living water begin to flow out. And you begin to really feel the touch of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Why? Because you're not asking amiss. You're asking in the way that God desires us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So faith is a key aspect of our receiving from God. So we want to look at, we got a few minutes. We're going to look at a few miracles that Jesus performed. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to see exactly what God expects. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. We'll read it and then I'll go back over it. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. A couple of key things that I see. Sometimes we overlook things in the Word of God. It says that when Jesus had departed, he had raised Jairus's daughter to life, and things had happened, and his fame went abroad in the land, and people were coming to him. And it says, and when Jesus departed thence, he was going somewhere else. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. He's walking down the road. These two men, they're crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Thing, notice, Jesus didn't stop. He just carried on. He just kept going. Sometimes we cry out to God and we expect God to stop right now and do what we want. And sometimes God's wanting to see if we really want what we're saying, are we going to continue to follow him until he stops and takes care of the problem? I have to serve God even if God doesn't heal me. I have to live for God no matter if I don't see he's not stopping. I'm just going to keep on following him. I just got to keep on going. I can't quit. It would have been easy for those blind men to stop. Because see, they couldn't see. They could not see Jesus. Yet they heard it was Jesus going down the road. And so they called out to him, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And he kept going. So they kept going. They said, you know what? He's the only one that can heal me. He's the only one that can help me. I don't know if they had a friend with them. They're saying, you know, he's going down the road here. Keep going. Come along, let's go. It wasn't until verse 28, and when he had come into the house, when Jesus got where he was going, the blind man came too. And it says, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. It doesn't say they knew much about Jesus at all, other than the fact that they had heard about Jesus and what Jesus could do for them. Think about it back to the time when somebody come along to you and said, you know what? That church over there on 37th Avenue, that God's moving in that church, you need to go there because God can help you.
Amen.
And we made up our minds that that's where we were going, and we come into the church. Wherever it was, could have been in a funeral home, could have been in above the Rendezvous restaurant, it could have been down on Pinchbeck Avenue, it could have been down on Seniors Activity Center in the basement. It could have been in the church up on 12th Avenue, wherever we've been in church in this town. Mm-hmm. People have come and found what they were looking for because they knew where to come. Yeah. These two blind men knew where to go.
Right.
They knew what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they came to him, and then Jesus looked at them and said, Believe ye that I am able to do this.
Right.
Yea, Lord, we believe. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, you need the faith. Mm-hmm. How many times have we come to God? Anybody ever been sick?
Right.
Yeah. Well, church should pray for me. I'd get healed. Mm-hmm. Don't expect God to heal you if you don't have the faith to believe. Ask and you shall receive. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the blind men here said, well, you know what we want, God. We've been following you. We've been calling out to you. You know what we need. I want to hear you tell me what you need. Because then I know what you want. Sometimes we think that, well, you should just pray for me. God knows I'm sick. No, God says, ask and you shall receive. And he also says, you got to believe. He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened immediately. Why? Because they did what God said. Let's see, another key thing that we can see in that set of scriptures is, if you don't get it right away, just keep on going. Mm-hmm. Don't quit because you don't get it right now. Those blind men could have quit. They didn't know where Jesus was going. They didn't have a clue how far he was going. They were blind. But they said, we're just going to keep on following until he stops. And that's the same way in our Christian walk with God. We need to just keep on following God. If I don't get it from God today, I'm going to get it tomorrow. If I don't get it tomorrow, I'm going to get it the next day. And if I don't get it the next day, I'm going to keep on going, because I'm going to keep on going until I get to Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, another story. Starting at verse number 22. It says in verse number 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She comes to Jesus because she's a mother and her child is sick. And she felt for her daughter. And she came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my daughter is sick. I need help. Listen to the next verse. But he answered her not a word. He didn't even take the time to say, sorry. He didn't take the time to say, none of my business. You're not of the Jews. I'm come to the Jews. Get lost. Didn't answer a word. Didn't say a thing. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Here's a woman of Canaan, not out of the house of Israel. Jesus came to the house of Israel, to the Jews. But this Canaanite woman comes because her daughter is sick and needs a touch. She cries out to Jesus, have mercy on me, Lord. He answered her not a word. His disciples come to Jesus and say, send her away, for she crieth after us. We're tired of hearing her screaming and hollering, asking for help. But, verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Finally, he answers the woman. So I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not sent to help you. I'm not here to heal you. Not here to heal your daughter. I'm sent to the house of Israel. They're lost. They need saving. But oh, I like what happens next. Verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know the best way to get something from God? Just keep going to him. God, I need help. God, have mercy on me. God, my daughter is sick. She needs healing. But he says unto her, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and cried unto him, Lord, help me. Again, Jesus says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. I don't know about you, but at about that moment, being called a dog, a lot of us probably would have walked off, would give up. There was a cry from that woman's heart that she had a child that was so sick. And she heard that Jesus was healing all kinds of people. She says, I'm not going to take no for an answer. You can call me a dog. That's all right. Listen to what she says. And she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I might be a dog, but if I can just get a few of the scraps that fall to the floor, I'll be satisfied. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. What God's looking for is faith. Somebody that just will not give up. Somebody that'll just keep going to God and saying, God, I need help. I need something, God, today. I need a blessing today. I need a healing today. God, I just need a blessing from you. And not quit asking. Call me a dog. Do whatever you want, but I'm going to keep coming and saying, Lord, I still need something. Maybe if I could just get a few of the scraps. The things that the house of Israel don't want, I'll take. We must be determined. You've got to be determined never to give up. Just keep pleading your case to God. Because God hears. We might think he's not hearing. We might think that he don't understand. I want to let you know God understands. God knows exactly what you're going through. And God wants to help. Because his desire is to see each one of us make heaven our home. But we have to make that decision. Let's stand. And I went through three more or four more different miracles where we find that it's so important to never give up. If you're going to get something from God, you just got to keep going. You got to keep making up your mind. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve.